Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Some of you like this time of year. You like the spookiness and the horror and the creepiness because you're weird. But I want to do my part to try to help scare you. I think I found the perfect Halloween costume for me. I was at Walmart the other day, and I saw this t-shirt. It is what I'm going to wear for Halloween as I do my part to scare you. That's going to be my lazy, scary costume. Boo. You're scared, okay? That's the most you're going to get out of me, okay? But as we know, this time of year plays upon our fears. Some of you are afraid of heights. Who's afraid of heights? Who's afraid of the dark? Who's afraid of creepy, crawly things? Who's afraid of creepy, crawly things in the dark? we all have fears. That being said, we do need to be very discerning. We need to be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And we understand that there are many things out in the world that are not good for us. We really need to be discerning. This weekend, we threw around the idea of what we were going to do, and we haven't, as a family, been to the movies in a while, and I threw out the idea, hey, let's go see the new Addams Family movie that came out. Remember the Addams Family from the 60s and 70s? You know, they're spooky and they're kooky, kind of like some of you. It was a cute little show, but apparently they've made a new cartoon movie. You know, the Addams Family, dun-dun-dun-dun. Oh, you know it, you know it. We ended up not going to the movies, but someone posted online a video as they walked, they literally were walking out of the theater as they went in to take their family to go see the movies. A beautiful young couple, don't know them, but they had a couple of small kids. As the movie started and they were watching some things on the screen, the father looked at the mother and they looked at each other and they said, we have to just walk out. And they gave three reasons why they walked out of that movie. The first one was, and remember, this is a kid's cartoon. You know, this is an animated movie. The first thing that caught their attention as they were being discerning was the growling demonic noises. And that was the first red flag. The second red flag was, and I don't know the boy's name in the cartoon, but he was possessed. And his eyes were possessed, and then he started crawling up a wall like a possessed person. But they said the third strike, the third reason why they had to walk out of that movie, was while watching the movie, there was introduced in the film a Ouija board. And they looked at each other and they said, enough is enough. We don't want to expose our children any further to that. And so I'm kind of glad we ended up not going to see the movie. But it was just another example to us of how we need to be very discerning. Our culture at large is very creatively and subtly introducing these demonic things into, again, our mainstream media and our popular movies and things like that. I mean, the whole Harry Potter series just exploded like crazy. And I'm not too familiar with it, but I understand there's a bunch of witches and sorcery and magic and things like that. And it was just gobbled up and consumed in large numbers. And we need to be very discerning as to what we expose ourselves to. Remember the saying, garbage in, garbage out. And if we expose ourselves to these very real things, they will shape us and not for the better. So we have to be very careful and we have to be very discerning. I was flipping through the TV one day, just a couple days ago, just looking for something to watch, and I came across this movie that was showing. I couldn't believe it. It caught my attention. The movie was called Ouija, Origin of Evil. I don't know if I want to see that, but they have a little description here of the movie. In 1967, Los Angeles, a widow making ends meet as a psychic is stunned when she finds a Ouija board that actually enables her to talk to the dead. While it's great for business, the board also allows a vengeful ghost to possess her 9-year-old daughter. I'm going, oh my goodness. Never heard of such a movie. Obviously, I didn't even bother looking at it. I ended up watching Night at the Museum. That's a cute movie if you haven't seen that. But we have to be very careful what we expose ourselves to, especially when it comes to the whole dark, demonic, occultic stuff that becomes even more prevalent this time of year. Ships do not sink because of the water all around them. The reason why ships sink is because of the water that gets inside of them. And so all around us is stuff that's not good for us. And as much as we're able, we need to keep a distance from those things that are evil and unholy and ungodly. But it's when we begin to allow these things, intentionally allow these things, or intentionally seek these things out and put them into our hearts and into our lives, that's when we begin to sink. And that's why this is so important. We must be discerning as to what we expose ourselves to, or expose our kids to, expose our hearts to. The Bible says, guard your heart. We absolutely have to be proactive against these things that are not of God. A scary story for today that's straight from the Bible will serve as a warning to us to not intentionally seek out the occultic, the demonic, the dead. The very first king of Israel, King Saul, did exactly that. There's a story here in 1 Samuel chapter 28. It's kind of a sad story, but it's also a frightening story. It's one of the most scary stories in the entire Bible. And I'm going to read it to you, and it's going to serve as a warning to us to not do what Saul did. So turn to 1 Samuel chapter 28, and I'm going to read this story to you. Verses 3 through 25, and hopefully we will learn from Saul's mistake as what not to do when we're seeking direction, purpose, answers. 1 Samuel chapter 28, beginning at verse 3, and because this chapter is so scary, I think we need to set it in its proper context. Set the tone here as I read this to you. It's dark. Saul is making some very bad decisions. Follow along with me as I read this scary story from the Bible. Now Samuel was dead. It's a great way to start a scary story, huh? Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. The Philistines assembled and came up and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all the Israelites and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams, or Urim, or prophets. Saul then said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium or a witch, so I may go and inquire of her."
"There is one in Endor," they said.
So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. "Consult a spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name." But the woman said to him, "Surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and spiritists from the land. Why have you set up a trap for my life to bring about my death?" Saul swore to her, "By the Lord, as surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this." Then the woman asked, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" "Bring up Samuel," he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me, you or Saul?" The king said to her, "Don't be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said, "I see a spirit coming up out of the ground." "What does he look like?" he asked. "An old man wearing a robe is coming up," she said. Then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" "I am in great distress," Saul said. "The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has turned away from me. He no longer answers me, neither by prophets or by dreams, so I have called on you to tell me what to do." Samuel said, "Why do you consult me, now that the Lord has turned away from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David. Because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, the Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will hand you over both Israel and you to the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also hand over the army of Israel to the Philistines." Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all day and night. When the woman came to Saul and saw that he was greatly shaken, she said, "Look at your maidservant has obeyed you. I took my life in my hands and did what you told me to do. Now please listen to your servant and let me give you some food so that you may eat and have strength and go on your way." He refused and said, "I will not eat." The men joined the woman in urging him, and he listened to them. He got up from the ground and sat on the couch. The woman had a fattened calf at the house, which she butchered at once. She took some flour, kneaded it, and baked bread without yeast. Then she set it before Saul and his men, and they ate. That same night, they got up and left. Pretty spooky, huh? That music, by the way, that score is actually entitled The Witch of Endor. Interesting story, huh? Of all the things that we can say about this passage, I think the most fearful thing that we read here is when he says, I am in great distress. The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has turned away from me. That in itself, that sentence right there, is very, very sad and fearful. When you know that because of your rebellion and sin and disobedience, as Saul was, all that, when you know that God himself has turned away from you. Saul made some blunders. He made some mistakes. He was not serving the Lord, took matters into his own hands, and thought he could twist God's arm, but God had turned himself away. He went to pray to God, but there was no answer. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like in your prayers you just cry out to God, say, God, God, I need some direction, I need some answers. And what you get in return is silence, crickets, nothing. What Saul should have done is, rather than turn to the witch, he should have done whatever he needed to do to get right with God. He needed to confess his sin. He needed to confess his rebellion and his disobedience. And he needed to turn back to God and keep turning to God until he heard an answer from the Lord. So the first thing I see here in this passage is that when we are not patient enough to hear from God, and we begin to take matters into our own hands, that's when we set ourselves up for even more trouble. One of the great promises of Scripture is that the Lord hears and will answer our prayers. But if we do not hear from God, as Saul did not hear from God, our only recourse is to keep going back to God, keep going back to God, and keep going back to God until we hear from him. That's easier said than done. I get that. But Saul was so impatient. He wanted answers, and he wanted them now, and he wanted them on his own terms. And so he did what he was not supposed to do, because remember, he had expelled all the witches and mediums from the land. That's why he disguised himself. He broke his own law and went out and sought the witch of Endor. Bad mistake. So I think the first lesson for us, if you do not hear from God, keep crying out to him. Wait on him. Wait. How many times do we read in the scriptures, I will wait for the Lord? This is very difficult for us in our instant society. We get mad when we go to McDonald's and they don't have our orders in 5 minutes or less, right? We hate to wait. We hate it. We want our phones to be charged instantly, right? Who wants to wait a half hour to get 100% battery life? We hate to wait. We are so used to things being like this. But when it comes to our relationship to God, we must learn to wait on him. Saul did not hear from the Lord or from the prophets, but we fortunately have in our hands the words of the prophets, and we're going to turn to one of the prophets in Micah. Turn to Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, verse 7. And if your name is Micah and you're here today, why don't you come up and read this verse for us? Do we have a Micah in the house? Micah, come up here and read Micah 7, 7 for us.
But as for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me.
Amen. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. Now contrast this word from the prophet Micah to what Saul did, who was so impatient, so rebellious, so disobedient, so wanting to take matters into his own hands. Contrast the two. They're like night and day. We must turn to the Lord and wait on Him. And if you don't hear from Him, what does Scripture say? Wait some more. Turn to Him. Be watching for Him. And keep repeating until you hear from God. This is how our relationship with God works. We cannot take matters into our own hands. How many stories in the Bible do we read of those who did not wait on the Lord and they ended up taking matters into their own hands and made a mess of things? Wait on the Lord. Wait on Him. Wait for His direction, His counsel, His guidance. That's what Saul needed to do. That's what we need to do. Why do we get so impatient? It's because of our disobedience, our ego, our rebellion, our lack of submission to God. We must wait on the Lord. Second point I see here is if you go consult the dead, you invite death. Lest you think this is just an Old Testament thing that's of no relevance to us today, let me tell you, there are, and you know this, there are psychics and there are mediums even today, and we should not consult with them. However, I continue to be amazed at just how much the popular culture wants to normalize such behavior. I'm going to show you a picture because I was flipping through the TV just 2 weeks ago, and I came across the Dr. Oz show. I don't watch him very often, but he's a medical doctor and he does medical advice, but I was shocked. As I happened to be flipping through the TV, I was shocked with what he was doing on his show. I was so shocked, I had to go back, rewind it, and pause it, and take this picture for you. He had a segment on his show, Can a Medium Get Answers from the Dead? And I'm thinking to myself, whatever happened to medical advice that he was supposed to be about? Now, the medium is the beautiful blonde on the left. Again, make it attractive. Make it normal. You know, the beautiful blonde is a medium. She will speak to the dead on your behalf. And the gal in the middle had lost a loved one and wanted to know if she could speak with her loved one. I am aghast at how our culture continues to try to normalize such behavior as if it's just as normal as going to see your doctor. We must be discerning. If you consult with the dead, you just invite death. We have to be on our guard. Just because we see it on TV and it appears normal and the medium's beautiful and they seem to have all the answers, you begin to delve in very demonic, occultic things that God's people should have nothing to do with. Nobody should have anything to do with. Be on your guard. Don't mess with this stuff. It's not good. Remember what I talked about earlier? It's not the water outside the ship that will sink the ship. It's the water that we invite into the ship that will sink the ship. And if we continue to invite this stuff into our homes and into our hearts and in our lives, we will sink. We must be discerning. The Apostle Paul was very clear in his warnings. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Paul is very clear of the types of behaviors that God's people are to stay clear from. Galatians 5, beginning at verse 20. I'll begin at verse 19, actually. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Sorcery, mediums, all that is involved in witchcraft. He's very clear, just as the Old Testament was. Stay away from this stuff, no matter how desperately our culture tries to normalize this behavior. This has no place in the life of a follower of Jesus. And the third point I see here in this passage of the account of the Witch of Endor is that rather than seeking the dead, we need to seek God. We need more of God. We desperately need more of God. In a culture filled with death and evil and destruction, we need God more than ever. Why? Because God is the author of life. Remember when the disciples had discovered that the body of Jesus wasn't there, and they went to the tomb and the angel was there, and the angel said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do we seek answers from the dead? Our God is the God of life." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Everything about our Messiah Jesus is about resurrection and life and eternal life and abundant life. The Christian religion is a religion of life. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life." Let's consult with another prophet of the Lord. This is the prophet Amos. Turn to Amos chapter 5. Anytime the Bible repeats itself, we need to pay attention. Amos 5, look at verse 4. This is what the Lord says to the house of Israel: "Seek me and live." Seek the Lord and live. Amen. Go down to verse 6, Amos chapter 5. "Seek the Lord and live." Amen. But he's not done. Go down to verse 14 of Amos chapter 5. "Seek good, not evil, that you may what? Live." Our religion, our faith in Jesus, is a religion of life and living and abundant life and eternal life. Saul was so very wrong in seeking the dead, because the message from the afterlife for him was only a message of death and destruction and no hope. And guess what? We have enough of that already in the world. Why seek more death and evil and destruction when we can seek the Lord and live? Seek God and live.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God, because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.